Good to see everyone here this morning. I appreciate you coming out and being together at this first hour of worship. We want to welcome any visitors we have, encourage you to come back and be with us at every opportunity that you would have to be in our area. This past, a few Wednesdays ago, we were talking in the class on Wednesday night, and we began to talk about things that we have and yet things that could be taken away and maybe some things that could not be taken away. You know, in this life, God has blessed us with many things. And yet it's also possible for some or even all of the blessings that we have to be taken away at one time or another. You know, Job was like that. He had been richly blessed by God in many ways, and yet he lost almost all of his blessings. Lost his health and so on. And we realize from his experience that a lot of people may have a similar experience even in this life. The things of this world, brethren, are not permanent. And just because we have good health and friends and family, nice things in our possession does not mean that we'll always have them. It is possible for any of the things that we have to be taken away from us. However, there is one thing that cannot be taken away from us, and to all of us who are Christians, that's a very comforting thought. That is a very comforting thought for us to know that even though life is so very uncertain, even though there are so many things, yes, that we're blessed with, but yet so many things that we could also lose in this life. But one thing we cannot be taken away from us is our faith in God. We are free to give it up. That's true. We are free to give it up and say, no, you know, I don't want that. But we are free will creatures. But at the same time, no one can take that away from us. But there are many assurances in the Bible concerning the things that no one can take away from us. And we need to realize the fact that no matter what happens to us in this life, God will always be there for us. Understanding this fact can be a great comfort to all of us who are Christians. So in this lesson, I would like to discuss the assurance we have, first of all, that God will never leave us. And then secondly, I want to discuss the assurance that we have of our salvation. And then finally, I want to discuss the assurance of our reward in heaven when this life is over. But first of all, we need to look at what Paul wrote to the Roman brethren concerning God's love for them as well as for all of us who are Christians. He said to them in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." We have so many blessings in Christ, but yet one of the most magnificent blessings that we have is the love that God has for us. And we should not take that for granted, but we should utilize that and allow it to strengthen our faith in Christ. Also, we need to understand that the writer of Hebrews tells us in reference to God in Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6, he says, "He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." We can be sure of us who are Christians that God is always with us, and we have a lot of uncertainties in this life. We have a lot of things that can happen to us that are very negative in nature. And even we realize that our life is transient, it's temporary, it's not permanent thing, it's not a permanent fixture here on the earth. So even our own life could be taken away, as well as anything that we have, as well as the lives of our loved ones can be taken away from us tragically. But yet we have the assurance that He will never leave us. God will never leave us. He will always be there for us. And with that in mind, we can also recognize that we are never alone. You know, the feeling of loneliness is something that's very common to many of us in this world. And yet, those of us who are Christians need to realize that we are never truly alone. We are never truly alone, but God is always with us, and we have that assurance. Jesus told his followers in Luke chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. He says, "Are not five sparrows sold for two farthings? And not one of them is forgotten before God. But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Here, Jesus is using a type of reasoning called from the lesser to the greater. And he's saying, well, you know, if God loves the sparrows, and he's aware of even a little sparrow falling to the ground, he knows when that happens, and even the hairs of our head are numbered. So, we are very important in the eyes of God. We need to realize we are very important in the eyes of God. He's never going to leave us. We have that assurance from him to us that we will never really be alone. Now, we might be by ourselves for a little while in this life, and that happens. We understand that. But as far as being left alone by God, it's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. It's a very comforting thought to those of us who have experienced loneliness from time to time and things of that nature. It is a very comforting thought. Also, we have 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 where he tells us, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you, in reference to God. So God will never forsake us. He will never leave us. And we can rest assured that we will always have him in our lives if we are a Christian, that he will always be there for us. Also, another thing that we can be assured of in this life and know that that won't be taken away from us is our salvation. The book of John gave us an assurance that we can know that we are saved. Not that we think, well, maybe, yeah, we maybe, it's, well, you know, we hope that's going to be, well, yeah, we do hope, but yet, we can also know. There are only few things in this life, brethren, we can know. But this is one of them. And we need to recognize that. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. He says, these things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. You know, life is full of many uncertainties. But there are some things we can know. We may not know whether or not it's going to rain next week. You know, we may not know whether or not we're going to have a job next week, or so forth and so on. There's a lot of things that we don't know, and a lot of uncertainties in this life. But we can know that we are saved according to the Word of God. Now, sometimes we feel very insecure about our salvation. Because we are very aware of the fact that we're not perfect. Somebody says, well, maybe you know that you're going to be saved, but I don't know about me, because I'm not. Well, none of us are perfect. Romans 3 and verse 23 tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have fallen short in one way or another, at one time or another. So how is it that we can know that we are saved? Well, the Bible assures us about that. It talks about Paul, for example, is a good example. He had even participated in putting Stephen, one of the first Christian martyrs, as far as we know, the first Christian martyr, put him to death by stoning, as well as persecuting other followers. Paul was a part of all of that. We see the record of that in Acts chapter 7 and chapter 8. So he was what we might call the chief of sinners. I think he called himself that at one time or another. He was a bad guy. When it came to Christians, he was a bad guy. He was a persecutor. And yet, he talks about how that he wasn't going to let that stop him. He wasn't going to let that cloud and handicap, you might say, his service to God. But he goes to tell us in Philippians chapter 3, 13 through 14, he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know, none of us are perfect, but yet we shouldn't dwell on the sins of our past, and we shouldn't dwell on that and allow that to handicap us, but learn from our mistakes, resolve to do better, and go forward. We should not let the past weigh us down, but go on with our lives and make each day, brethren, a living sacrifice for Jesus Christ. You know, God knows that we are only human, and that all of us will fall short at one time or another, and yet the Bible tells us that God is greater than our heart in 1 John chapter 5, 20 through 21. You know, we still have these uncertainties, this uneasiness, this feeling that, well, I don't know. I mean, God has done His part and all of that, but what about me? And these feelings keep coming back up to us at times. But keep in mind 1 John 5:20-21, where we are assured by John saying, "For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart." That's what happens sometimes, isn't it? We're, in our mind, in our heart, you might say, we condemn ourselves. We think, "Well, I'm not perfect. I don't know if I can make it." Brethren, God's greater than our heart. We can know that we are saved because God has given us that assurance, and He is greater than our heart. He can take away, and if we'll think about that and allow it to work in our lives that way, we do not have to allow ourselves to be so insecure of our salvation. But we can know that God is greater than our hearts and knows all things. He knows where we're at. He knows how far we've grown and how far we need to go. But it goes on to say here, "Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God." Don't let your heart condemn you. Don't let these feelings of insecurity slow you down. But go forward with the confidence that as Christians we should have, knowing that we're all right. We can know that our salvation is there for us and not be so anxious and worried about it, but serve God with day by day and serve God with diligence and fervency that we should, not allowing these insecurities to get in the way. And one of the things that's comforting also to all of us is that we have an assurance of a reward. You know, sometimes when we're struggling with a problem in our lives, we may wonder, well, is the Christian life worth the trouble? You know? There's things we can't do. There's ways of making a living we can't do because we're Christians. We don't involve ourselves in these things. Well, there are things, you know, that might benefit us in this life that we can, but we know we can't do that as a Christian. And so we sometimes get concerned about things like this, and we say, "Well, is it really worth the trouble?" Well, Paul answered that question in the Roman Brethren. He says, God gives us many assurances that serving Him is worth it, even though, you know, we're going to have our trials in this life. Everybody has problems, as they say. We're all going to have trials. We're all going to have difficulties. We're all going to have things that we struggle with. But yet, we have that assurance in the Bible that it will be worth it. He tells us in Romans 8 and verse 18, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." See, the reward is so great that we will receive that there's no comparison possible. It's beyond any comparison that we might make. You know, nobody that gets into heaven will be saying, "You know, this isn't what I thought. You know, it just doesn't measure up to what the Bible said it was going to be. I kind of wish I'd..." No, nobody's going to do that. Nobody's going to say, "Well, I kind of, you know, regret becoming a Christian." No, it's not going to happen. Not going to happen. We will be so overwhelmed with how wonderful the reward is. It will just be beyond comparison. It's beyond comparison. It's beyond the words that it would take to describe it. So we need to keep that in mind. That's what he's saying here. It's not even worthy to be compared, the things that we have to worry about in this life. And Jesus assured His followers that He was preparing a wonderful place for them in the next life. Many of the songs that we sing in our hymnals are comforting songs about the things and the rewards that are yet to follow when this life is over. Jesus told His followers, and one of them is the mansion in heaven. You know, Jesus told His followers in John 14:2-3. He says, "In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." This is one of those if-then kind of things when we take, look at the way the Bible reasons about things. He says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again." Well, did he go? Yes, he did go. But he's saying here, if this, then that. And we say, if he went, and he's going to come again, and he's going to have it prepared. So he did that. He did go, and we can recognize that what's going to follow is what he says. We know he went. We know he was resurrected. And what follows is that mansion is under preparation for us. And he's going to come back and reward all of his followers. I appreciated Justin singing Blessed Assurance this morning, and you know, we didn't plan that at all. That was what was interesting about that. I said, "You know that song, Blessed Assurance? I've already got it ready. So it was a happy coincidence for us this morning, by the way. But one of the things, too, that we sometimes have in song is about a crown. When Paul wrote to Timothy, he knew he was close to the end of his life. And he was looking forward to a reward and to a crown. He wrote in 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Now, here's the good part. Here's the good part. But not to me only. That's where we come in. Not just to him, but he goes on to say, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Paul was going to receive a crown, but brethren, all of us are too. If we follow after Christ, if we are faithful unto the end, we have a crown waiting for us. Just as Paul has a reward, so do we if we do not fall away. And heaven, brethren, will be a wonderful place. It'll be a wonderful place that's filled with joy, filled with love. We won't have to be concerned about death. We won't have to be concerned about someone that we love being taken away from us. You know, we have that concern here in this life. We have that concern that, well, we love this person, we love our spouse, we love our children, we love our aunts and uncles, friends, family, we have people that we're close to, but yet we understand this life will at some time end for all of us. And at any given time, none of us have the promise of tomorrow, so that loved one, as well as us, ourselves, can be taken out. We can be taken away at any given time. We understand that risk is there. But yet, we don't have that risk in the next life. There's no death in the next life. And consequently, we don't have anything to cry about in the next life, but we do in this life. We all understand how that works. We all understand that we grieve over things. We have things that make us very unhappy to the point of tears being in our eyes. We have a lot of grief. We have a lot of pain. All of that's gone. We don't need pain medicine in the next life. We don't need any relief in that way, but it's all taken away from us. And it's a blessed assurance that we have that in our future. All of us who are Christians can count on that as being part of our future. When this life is over, we can be ushered into a much better place. There's no tears, there's no pain, there's no death, there's no sorrow. But the Bible talks about that. And it talks about that in Revelation 21, verse 4. It says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. We won't have to worry about that. We have this assurance from God that it's there waiting on us. Heaven would be wonderful even without this crown and the mansion. Just take away the pain, Lord. Just don't let me have to deal with all the pain that's in this life. And if that was all, that'd be enough. But yet there's so much more. And it's no wonder Paul writes, there's no comparison. There's just no comparison. And it's a blessed assurance for all of us, recognizing that that's the way it's going to be. No more grief, no more pain, no crying. It'll be a wonderful thing to be freed from the many sorrows and difficulties we face in this life. Now, it is true. Many of the things we're blessed with in this life can be taken away from us, but it is certainly a blessed assurance that there is one thing that can't be taken away from us, and that's our faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible assures us that Jesus will never leave us. It's possible for us to leave Jesus. We understand that. But it is free. We are free to live our lives as we want. We have that free will that was granted unto us, but it won't be taken away from us. We can give it up, but no one will take it away from us. It's also true that we can be sure of our salvation, and no one can take that away from us either. And when we obey the gospel, Jesus adds us to the church that he died for and shed his blood for, and the reward that will be ours is more than we can ever imagine. So let me encourage you, if you've not become a Christian, to do so today. In faith, repentance, confession, and baptism. If you've never put on Christ in baptism and become a Christian, let me encourage you to do so while the time and the opportunity is yours today. And if you have given up you maybe have done that, but then you decided, well, it's not worth it. You know, I'll just give it up. I'll just go turn my back. Or maybe you've drifted away some way or another. We encourage you today, while you have opportunity, to come back to your first love and repent. We'd be glad to pray with you and encourage you in any way that we can to keep fighting that fight and keep living the life of in Christ that we should all live. We can help anyone. We'd like to do so if you'll let your needs be known as we stand and sing the encouragement song.